بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به فقد اهتدوا وإن تولوا فإنما هم في شقاق فسيكفيكهم الله وهو السميع العليم صبغة الله ومن أحسن من الله صبغة ونحن له عابدون وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم ما تزال قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن أربع عن عمره فيما أفناه وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه وعن علمه ماذا عمل به أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, it is inherent and intrinsic to the human nature that he desires to plan and prepare for the future. Some have short-term plans, and some have long-term plans. But planning for the future is inherent, inborn, and intrinsic, synonymous to our nature. And more than often, in our preparation for tomorrow, we tend to disobey Allah today. We want to build this castle for our children and establish and anchor their future. We disobey Allah today. Some wealth came into Medina from Iraq. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu started distributing the wealth. So a person interjected and he said, لو أبقيت من هذا المال لعدو إن حضر أو نائبة إن نزلت. Oh Umar, why don't you keep your reserves full in case you are ambushed by an enemy tomorrow or you are struck by a tragedy? Don't deplete your resources. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, Wallahi la a'siyan Allah al-yawm li ghadin. By Allah, I will never disobey Allah today for the sake of tomorrow. Walakin u'iddu lahum ma a'adda lahum Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I will equip myself for an unusual attack from an enemy or a tragedy by compliance to the orders of Allah and by embracing the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only difference between the preparation of tomorrow between a believer and a disbeliever is the tomorrow of a disbeliever ends in this transitory world. So he has a 10-year plan, a 20-year plan, a 50-year plan. But it ends. ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ Allah says their preparation, the pinnacle of their knowledge, ceases at the time of death. And the believer prepares for the real tomorrow, the actual tomorrow. And the real tomorrow begins where the temporary tomorrow ends. The real tomorrow begins, as the Quran says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ O you who believe, fear Allah. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ And every day monitor your spiritual accounts and see what are your balances in the real tomorrow. The nation of Thamud belied Sayyidina Salih alayhi salam. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِالنُّذُرِ They denied and belied all the Anbiya. فَقَالُوا أَبَشَرًا مِنَّا وَاحِدًا نَتَّبِعُهُ How can we subject ourselves to the teachings of an average mortal? Inna idhan lafi dalalin wa suhur. That is tantamount to deviation and insanity. Aulqiya dhikru alayhi min baynina. Why has he been privileged with prophethood from all of us? Bal huwa kadhabun ashir. He's a blatant liar and he's an arrogant individual. Wal iyadhu billah. Allah says, I have delayed this answer to tomorrow. سَيَعْلَمُونَ غَدًا مَنِ الْكَذَّابُ الْأَشِيرُ Tomorrow, the actual tomorrow, the real tomorrow, the tomorrow of Qiyamah will clear the misconception and bring to the fore who was the innocent ambassador of Allah and who the blatant liar was. In Kanzul Ummal, in Al-Isaba fi Tamiz al-Sahaba, and in Hayatul Sahaba, in Kitabul Mawa'id, the couplets of Abdullah ibn Kurz radiallahu anhu have been captured. In essence, this was the talk of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he captured in poetic form. He speaks about a dying man who summons three of his siblings. Two out of the siblings, out of the three, were his investments in this temporary world. That was his wealth and his family members. And the third was his good deeds, which was his investment in the real tomorrow and the actual tomorrow. Inni wa ahli walladhi qaddamat yadayya kada'in ilayhi sahbahu thumma qaili. Myself and my three siblings, that is my family, my wealth and my good deeds, is like a man on his deathbed calling out to them. لِإِخْوَتِهِ إِذْ هُمْ ثَلَاثَةُ إِخْوَةٍ. Come here, oh my three brothers. أَعِينُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ بِيَ الْيَوْمَ نَازِلِ. I'm about to take my last breath and I'm about to die. I desperately need your aid and your assistance. So wealth told the others, you just want to keep a distance, let me first speak. فَقَالَ امْرُؤٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Wealth said, I will first clear my position and explain what I can do for you. أَنَا الصَّاحِبُ الَّذِي أُطِيعُكَ فِيمَا شِئْتَ قَبْلَ التَّزَايُلِ. I am that brother of yours that as long as you breathe in, I can arrange. If you're ill, I can have the best surgeons flown in. I can mobilize. I can have you admitted in the best clinic. Press the button, but you must be breathing, then I can show you my muscle. I can flex my powers, and I can show you what I can do, but you must be breathing. فَأَمَّا إِذَا جَدَّ الْفِرَاقِ. But as death becomes apparent, and I see the scowl and the frown on your forelock, وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقِ. And I see the shin of one leg enveloping on the other, إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَ إِذِنِ الْمَسَاقِ. And you commence your journey. فَأَمَّا إِذَا جَدَّ الْفِرَاقُ فَإِنَّنِي لِمَا بَيْنَنَا مِنْ خُلَّةٍ غَيْرُ وَاصِلِ. Then I must be very honest with you, our relation ends there and it terminates. And then my ownership is transferred into your heirs. You and I have no allegiance from that point. وَعَجِّلْ صَلَاحًا قَبْلَ حَتْفٍ مُعَاجِلٍ. So if you want to exploit me, you want to maximize, you want to capitalize, use me objectively today. In Tanbih al-Ghafilin, there is an amazing quotation written that while one of the names of Qiyamah is Hasra, Allah has referred to Qiyamah with different names, Yawm al-Tanad, where there will be mutual proclamations, Yawm al-Taghabun, when there will be failure and victory, Yawm al-Talaq, when there will be mutual meeting, Yawm al-Hasra, when there would be this intense regret, Yawm al-Azifa, which is coming up very close. So three people's regret would be the most severe. One person, رَجُلٌ لَهُ مَمْلُوكٌ صَالِحٌ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ وَمَوْلَاهُ يَدْخُلُ النَّارِ. A man, to contextualize it, he's an employer, he's a boss, he's got strength, he's got muscle, he's got clout. But in his individual capacity, this man was not obedient to Allah. While he had a dutiful employee, and to use the precise analogy in the text, it was a master and slave. So the employee or the slave was obedient, compliant, diligent, focused to Allah. This boss, this employee had great muscle and authority over him. I would twitch my fingers and he had to come on my back and call. But when Qiyamah comes, the reality plays out very different. Now you stand individual. You don't stand with any titles. You stripped of all your privileges. إِن كُلُّ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَنِ عَبْدًا لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدَّا. You stand as a servant and slave. So Allah will say to the slave, because of your obedience to the employee, you can go to Jannah. With regards to your master, unfortunately, he is destined for hell. That would be a very, very painful moment for that master to contend with. A man who I considered of no much significance or merit, who was attending to my simple basic chores, but subhanallah, the degree has changed here in Qiyamah. I have traveled and I continue to travel and I see this and I always Reflect over this. When a person is traveling, he is identified by the boarding pass with which he holds. If you're holding a first class boarding pass, nobody looks at your complexion. Nobody looks at the color of your skin. Nobody looks at the dialect you speak. Nobody looks at how you are attired. You are ushered into the best lounges. You have the best of chauffeurs taking you from one point to another. Because for the duration of this flight, you've paid the most and you enjoy the greatest perks. On the day of Qiyamah, it would be the boarding pass of piety and taqwa, and nothing else would count in any way. The second person is رَجُلٌ جَمَعَ الْمَالَ وَمَنَعَ مِنْهُ حُقُوقَ اللَّهِ. A man who amassed wealth, gathered wealth, but he would hoard that wealth. He'd never spend it in the obedience of Allah. Then after he passed away, his heirs inherited this rich legacy and objectively spent the money that the late person had toiled for, thereby earning themselves Jannah through the wealth they inherited, while the man who toiled for that wealth will end up in hell. Can you imagine when this man, the declaration would be said that he would go into Jannah because of generosity? This man will stand up, Allah, but that's my money. That's my sweat. He only inherited it, my Allah. I toiled. That's what the poet said. Abdullah ibn Kur said, وَعَجِّلْ صَلَاحًا قَبْلَ حَتْفٍ مُعَاجِلِ. If you don't want regrets with your wealth, then hasten in dispensing and spending it out in the path of Allah. And the third person, may Allah guide me and may Allah guide one and all, is one who advises and lectures people. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. See the write-up under this ayah, that some people came to their leaders and their priests from the people of the book, and they said, isn't Muhammad Sassam the final man? He said, yes, most certainly this is the man, embrace his faith. So he said, okay, if you promote it, you advocate it, you support it, why don't you embrace it yourself? He said, no, I have my own vested interest. But the right thing is follow his teachings. Allah then reproach them, admonish them, chastise them. You promote virtue, yet you lag behind in embracing that virtue. So the third man is one who advocates good. The masses flock to his words. They rehabilitate their lives. They effect the necessary changes. While the lecturer, the mentor himself, doesn't make the correct changes in his life. May Allah save us from those regrets. وَقَالَ امْرُؤٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Then comes the second brother. قَدْ كُنْتُ جِدًّا أُحِبُّهُ وَأُوثِرُهُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ فِي التَّفَاضُلِ. I will not launch you, O my brother, at the time of death as wealth has forsaken you. غَنَائِي أَنِّي جَاهِدْ لَكَ نَاصِحْ إِذَا جَدَّ جَدُّ الْكَرَبِ غَيْرُ مُقَاتِلِدْ. When the signs of death will become imminent, your wealth will forsake you. With regards to me, I will be loyal, faithful and diligent. When the signs of death will become apparent, I will inch closer to you. But I must be very honest, I won't ditch you or launch you, but I won't able to take the challenge. I won't able to challenge the angel of death. I'm going to stand right up close to you. The Quran says, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُونَ فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُونَ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. Why not? If you claim, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُونَ فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ أَيْ مَجْزِيِّينَ. If you believe that you will not be subjected to retribution and party and indulge and make the best of it, why not when the soul reaches the collarbone? وَأَنْتُمْ. And you family members converge and congregate. تَنْظُرُونَ. And you look helplessly and feeble at this dying person. وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ بِعِلْمِنَا. And we are closer to this dying man with our power and our knowledge. وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. But you cannot perceive and comprehend. تَرْجِعُونَهَا. If you have strength. And to the young boys, you know, there's this craze of the six-pack. And then it's flex your muscles. And then it's Iron Man and Superman. I said to this, I'm Sulaiman. تَرْجِعُونَهَا. Halt the departing soul. تَرْجِعُونَهَا. Just put it on hold. Wait. Don't remove that soul. تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you have any claims, any merit to that claims, then do it. Absolutely nothing. So what does he say? What do the family members say? We will come up close to you. فأما أحبه وأوثره من بينهم في التفاضل غنائي أني جاهد لك ناصح إذا جد جد الكرب غير مقاتلي. In Bayhaqi, in Shu'abul Iman, the narration is there. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam comes. The narration is very long. This was the maqam in the position of Nabi alayhi salam. Jibreel comes and he says, O Nabi of Allah, the angel Ismail is with me and Malakul Maut is also at the door. مَسْتَأْذَنَ عَلَىٰ أَدْمِيٍّ قَبْلَكَ وَلَا يَسْتَأْذِنُ عَلَىٰ أَدْمِيٍّ بَعْدَكَ. Jibreel barges, he makes a sudden presence, he abducts and usurps, he abruptly removes the soul, but he's been given the task to politely kneel himself down and seek your consent before entering your presence. O Nabi of Allah, that's you alone. After that he just enters. إِنَّ الْحَبِيبَ مِنَ الْأَحْبَابِ مُخْتَلَسُ لَا يَمْنَعُ الْمَوْتَ بَوَّابٌ وَلَا حَرَسُ فَكَيْفَ تَفْرَحُ بِالدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتِهَا مَنْ يُعَدُّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّفْزُ وَالنَّفَسُ قَدْ كَانَ قَصْرُكَ ذَا شَرَفٍ فَقَبْرُكَ فِي الْأَجْدَاثِ مُنْجَدِلُ لَا يَتْرُكُ الْمَوْتُ ذَا جَاهٍ لِعِزَّتِهِ وَلَا الَّذِي مِنْهُ الْعِلْمُ يُقْتَبَسُ لا يمنع الموت بواب ولا حرس. No butler, no doorkeeper, no security can deny the angel of death entrance. He's ushered in. He looks at Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. I've been given the task to remove your soul. If you consent, I will modestly remove it. If you decline, I will back off and respect. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam modestly gazes towards Jibreel. Jibreel realizes the modest gaze was tantamount to consultation. Jibreel says, Inna Allah qad ishtaqa ila liqa'ik. O Nabi of Allah, Allah is looking forward to your return. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then signals the angel of death, and the greatest soul in the annals of history was then removed. وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَى وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى. Allah uses it as a different phrase in removing the souls. Nazi'ati, to remove, to abduct, to take out forcefully. وَالنَّاشِطَاتِ نَشْطَى. And the soul of a believer, unleash it, untie it, release it. Let it freely move out. May Allah make our soul in that condition at the time of death. And for the disbeliever, أخرجوا أنفسكم اليوم تجزون عذاب الهون ولو ترى إذ الملائكة يضربون وجوههم وأدبارهم. So anyway, the second brother, that is relatives, he says, I will stand by your side, but when the time of death comes, I will just support you. I will put a loving hand over you. ولكنني باك عليك ومعول. Oh, I will cry. And I will cry in such a way that the world will say that I have been traumatized by the tragic death of my brother, sibling or friend. وَمُعْوِلُ وَمُثْنِمْ بِخَيْرٍ عِنْدَ مَنْ هُوَ سَائِلِي. And whoever comes as mourners and well-wishers will come to offer their condolences at your memorial service. I will laud you. I will lavishly praise you. وَمُثْنِمْ بِخَيْرٍ عِنْدَ مَنْ هُوَ سَائِلِي. وَمُتَّبِعِ الْمَاشِينَ أَمْشِي مُشَيِّعًا. I'm not going to leave you then. I'm going to be active in carrying your corpse and your body. أُعِينُ بِرِفْتِ عَقَبَةَ كُلَّ حَامِلِ. Then, oh my beloved, they will inform me of your house in which you will live longer than your stay in this world, which neither you know nor I know. I would be asking them, where's my brother's house? Where's his grave? Where's his abode? Where is my relative, my partner, my child, whatever it is? إِلَىٰ بَيْتِ مَثْوَاكَ الَّذِي أَنْتَ مُدْخَلُ. I would then take you, lower you down, and I must be very honest, as much as I wish to stay there, I'm going to have to politely excuse myself, because since you've become ill, all my issues have been put on hold. My practice hasn't been functioning at optimum, my surgery hasn't been in order, my other chores, my other commitments all have been put on hold because of how precarious your situation was. It was so sensitive. إِلَىٰ بَيْتِ مَثْوَاكَ الَّذِي أَنْتَ مُدْخَلُ أُرَجِّعُ مَقْرُونًا بِمَا هُوَ شَاغِلِ. Life will move on. Initially I'll feel bad, I'll feel hurt. I won't be able to drive past that cemetery, I'll get emotional. Then will come a time with a smile, I will say, my late brother's also buried here. Oh, even my brother. Time will move on. كأن لم يكن بيني وبينك خلة كأن لم يكن بيني وبينك خلة ولا حسن ود مرة في التباذل فذلك أهل المرء ذاك غناؤهم وليسوا وإن كانوا حراصا بطائلي أي بنافعي. This is about all the brothers can do. This is all about the family can do. They mean well, but their abilities are also cut off. That's it. I wish so much. I wish I can do beyond. Never mind anyone else. Zainab Safiya radiyallahu anha, Safiya bint Huyay ibn Akhtab, in the fatal illness of Nabi alayhi salam, when she seen the pain of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, O Nabi of Allah, I wish I could reverse it, that I be in your pain and you be in my comfort, but the pattern and the destiny of life is somewhat different. I wish I could be in your pain. A time will come as if we had no relation. So that's your two investments in terms of this world. In Mishkat Sharif, in the first volume, with reference to Tirmidhi under Babu Dafni al-Mayyit, there is a narration of Ibn Abi Mulaika. An Ibn Abi Mulaika, the narration is that when our mother Aisha radiallahu anha came to Mecca to perform Hajj, she came to pay her respect at the grave of her brother Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr. One was Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr. He passed away 40 days after the demise of Nabi alayhi salam when a stray arrow hit him Yawm al-Ta'if. And this was Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr. So she wasn't present at the funeral of her brother. When she came to Mecca, he was buried in Mecca. She said, let me just pay my respects. When she paid her respects, she sang amazing couplets. I gave you the reference where I read it. وَكُنَّا كَنَدْمَا نَيْجَذِيمَةَ حِقْبَةً مِنَ الدَّهْرِ حَتَّى قِيلَ لَنْ يَتَصَدَّحَا فَلَمَّا تَفَرَّقْنَا كَأَنِّي وَمَالِكَ لِتُولِجْتِمَاعٍ لَمْ نَبِتْ لَيْلَةً مَعَا. This is so profound and so deep, and it's so academic, but I hope I can simplify it. She actually mimicked the couplets of Malik, of Tamim bin Nuwayra. Tamim bin Nuwayra had a brother by the name of Malik bin Nuwayra. He was killed by Khalid radiallahu anhu in the reign and the khilafat of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They were inseparable, they were so close that in their proximity he used to say, وَكُنَّا كَنَدْمَا نَيْجَذِيمَةَ حِقْبَةً مِنَ الدَّهْرِ حَتَّى قِيلَ لَنْ يَتَصَدَّعَا. That we were like the two inseparable ministers of the king Jadhima. But when my brother Malik passed away, then Tamim bin Nuwayra said, time has moved on. We spent childhood memories, we would reminisce, we were together, we grew up, we got married. But after he passed away and life had to move on for me, sometimes I wonder if we ever met in life. Sometimes, I mean, I can identify with your boarding life, you with your colleagues and your companions. And this was all, this was life complete. You only seen it through the lenses of those with who you got up, you studied, you were, you traveled, etc. But as life moved on, blood brothers, I remember as a child I seen a notice that read, twins meet after 32 years. Twins meet after 32 years. So Aisha radiallahu anha sang the same couplets, that myself and my brother were so close, but life moved on. Now it feels like did we ever meet? When these two brothers did what they had to say, وَلَيْسُ وَإِنْ كَانُوا, as much as they wish to aid you, they don't have the teeth to bite. Then comes the third brother, وَقَالَ امْرُؤٌ مِّنْهُمْ أَنَا الْأَخُ لَا تَرَى أَخَلَّكَ مِثْلِي عِنْدَ كَرْبِ الزَّلَازِلِ لَدَى الْقَبْرِ تَلْقَانِي هُنَالِكَ قَاعِدًا أُجَادِلُ عَنْكَ الْقَوْلَ رَجْعَ التَّجَادُلِ. That is your good actions, that is your Quran, that is your spiritual investment, that's your investment for the real tomorrow. What does your good deed say? When others ditch you, launch you, that's the time I get into the actual pit. And I will be there in the grave to deal with all the litigation processes of akhirat. أُجَادِلُ عَنْكَ الْقَوْلَ رَجْعَ التَّجَادُلِ. I will tell the angels, keep an arm's length. You talk to my client from a distance. This is not paraphrasing. These are the words of Abdullah ibn Kurz radiallahu anhu. أُجَادِلُ عَنْكَ الْقَوْلَ رَجْعَ التَّجَادُلِ. وأقعد يوم الوزن في الكفة التي تكون عليها جاهدا في التثاقل. When you have a good relation with a man, you said, I will be there, I'll send my person, I'll send my lawyer, and if need be, I will come in person. The angel in the form of good deeds says, when it comes to weighing your actions, I will physically make myself present there to see a swift response in the grave, an easy reckoning, and ultimately you are ushered into the gardens of Jannah. فَلَا تَنْسَنِي وَعْلَمْ مَكَانِي فَإِنِّي عَلَيْكَ شَفِيقٌ نَاصِحٌ غَيْرُ جَذِلِي. If you want to forsake the first two, and I'm not necessarily promoting or advocating that, but don't ever launch me, because I am your amnesty, I am your rescue, not in your old age, not when you're senile, not when you're frail, but when you will disintegrate in your qabr. فَإِنَّنِي عَلَيْكَ شَفِيقٌ نَاصِحٌ غَيْرُ جَاذِلِي فَذَلِكَ مَا قُمْتَ مِنْ كُلِّ صَالِحٍ تُلَاقِيهِ إِنْ أَحْسَنْتَ يَوْمَ التَّوَاصُلِ. So surely these young people and the Honorable Ustad Mufti Sahib and the Hafiz Sahib and the entire institution, this is your investment for the real tomorrow. But I must sound a word of caution here. While committing the Quran to memory is part of the preparation of tomorrow, the task is far from over. How many a youth will memorize the Quran, but after becoming huffaz of the Quran, they become more arrogant, more obstinate, more disobedient, and it actually violates the entire essence of committing the Quran. In Ma'rif al-Quran, in the first volume, in the second juz, in Surah Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ تَعَجَّلَ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ تَأَخَّرَ فَلَا إِثْمَ عَلَيْهِ لِمَنِ اتَّقَى وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ. Fear Allah. Allah speaks about Hajj in detail, and then Allah says, whether you're in Hajj or you're not in Hajj, in essence, fear Allah. Mufti Shafiq Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned an incident of a particular disciple who would attend the gatherings of his mentor, and he had a distinct brightness on his forelock. There was this brilliant light that was apparent, and it would attract people to the piety of this man. And then he embarked on Hajj, and when he returned from Hajj, people thought it's just going to take him a notch further, one up in his piety, only to realize that the light, the brightness, the brilliance, the effulgence, the celestial nur that he had disappeared in its entirety. So he went to his mentor and he said, prior to Hajj, when I was, you know, somewhat bad and I was trying to stabilize myself, I had this nur on me. But now that I've returned from Hajj, I thought I would become more closer to my Creator. And on the reverse, I see that the entire nur and light has disappeared. He said, prior to you completing the Quran, or prior to you going on Hajj, you had a sense of guilt in you that you were a sinner. And now you have an edge and a sense of pride that you're a hafiz and you're a pilgrim. And that has snatched the light. Hakim has made mention of a narration. Ibn Hajar has also recorded it in his Al-Isaba. Aisha radiallahu anha reports it. Then Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nimtu, I went to sleep. Fara'aytuni fil Jannah, I seen myself in Jannah. فَإِذَا أَنَا Suddenly, سَمِعْتُ صَوْتَ قَارِئٍ يَقْرَى I'm in Jannah. This is the dream of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's real. I'm in Jannah and I'm hearing somebody reciting Quran. I asked the Malaika, who's this? They said, this is your companion, your Sahabi, Haritha bin Nu'man. We have privileged him that he reads in Medina, but his tilawat is heard in the heavens. Why, oh the Malaika? Because he is a very kind, dutiful, obedient son to his mother. كَذَلِكَ الْبِرُّ وَكَانَ أَبَرَّ النَّاسِ بِأُمِّهِ وَكَانَ أَبَرَّ النَّاسِ بِأُمِّهِ. So this is part of the investment. When Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu passed away, Auf ibn Malik al-Ashja'i seen him in a dream. Auf ibn Malik. What did he see? He seen رأى عوف بن مالك فيما يرى النائم مرجا أخضر. This beautiful landscape, lushful gardens, green meadow. فيه قبة عظيمة. This is the dream of a Sahabi. Today I find this very strange, and I'm not saying it in a condescending context. Surely a great dream is a basharat, it's a glad tidings. But we also need to see who seen the dream. We cannot exclude that from the equation. I know of a man, his parents are displeased with him, or there are other issues in his life, and he's relying on a friend that had one dream that he's in Jannah. Sahaba had explicit, categoric glad tidings on the tongue of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yet they feared the worst consequences for themselves. They would not slip into a comfort zone. So as much as it is glad tidings, we got to take it with a pinch of salt. This was the vision and the dream of a Sahabi. Marjan akhbar, qubbatun azima, there's a dome like structure. Hawlahu ghanamun rabida, there is some sheep, you know, grazing in the neighborhood. Beautiful, breathtaking, mind-boggling. So Auf ibn Malik said, I was so intrigued, it was so amazing. I asked the Malaika, who enjoys all this year? People in our travels, you've seen people show you homes on the banks of a river. It is a millionaire's acre, million pounds, dollars, and what and what. But the real is the investment of Akhirah. The real is the abode of Akhirah. The abode of this dunya. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was asked, I'm going to read the Arabic words and I'll move on because I don't have time to translate it. Person erects a beautiful building and then he calls Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, what do you have to say about this place? He says, هَذَا سُرُورٌ لَوْلَا أَنَّهُ غُرُورٌ وَنَعِيمٌ لَوْلَا أَنَّهُ عَدِيمٌ وَمُلْكٌ لَوْلَا أَنَّهُ هُلْكٌ وَفَرَحٌ لَوْ لَمْ يَعْقِبْهُ تَرَحٌ وَلَذَّاتٌ لَوْ لَمْ تَقْتَرِنْ بِآفَاتٍ